This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Ray's coming up in about 5 minutes. We'll see what kind of mood Ray is in. We should probably know better because Strutty was chirping him in the last hour, and with social media being what it is, I'm sure
somebody
sent him a text.
Somebody got to him.
Yeah, and said the boys are beaking you, which means he'll probably come out with just a bazooka loaded for us. But that's fine, and we look forward to it. Ray's coming up in about five. And the NHL Awards, you know, everything is unconventional in 2020. You know, it's like a pregame show at 6:30. They announce who wins the Hart Trophy and the Ted Lindsay and all that. So it happened towards the end of our show yesterday. But Draisaitl cleaned up, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. He had an absolutely spectacular year. But, you know, it's an interesting chat because I think McDavid is the better player. You know, like Draisaitl keeps growing, and he's getting closer to McDavid. But McDavid is still the man on that team, and I think is the undisputed best player playing in Canada. You can make an argument that McKinnon's right with him now in terms of league-wide. You know, on any given night, can Sid show up and still play the lights out? Absolutely. He could be in that conversation. But if we're talking the seven Canadian teams, McDavid for the next 5 years, likely 10, but let's say 5 years, I think is the man sitting atop the mountain. No one's challenging that. He's going to be the best player. I would say as of right now, based on what we've seen, Draisaitl is indisputably the number two, I think, in the country. But I do think that there is cases to be made for guys who could be challenging him. And one of them, I think, has to be Connor Hellebuck, who won the Vezina last night. He runs off another Vezina-like season next year, and he becomes the best goalie in the league, and you can't fight it.
Isn't that his second Vezina and a runner-up?
Well, no, it's his first Vezina, and he was a runner-up, I believe, last year.
Oh, I thought he's already won one.
No, he's been up for one. That's the thing. Like you're right, Brian. Like that gets overlooked because it's maybe not as sexy as of a position. But if you win two Veznas, or you've been in that conversation for multiple years, and you're 26 years old, like it's not like he's 34. He's in the wheelhouse of greatness right now. If he can stick with it, he has to be in that conversation of top player in Canada.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Like, I don't think he matches McDavid. I don't think he will.
No,
four or five years ago, I think Carey Price was considered the best player in the country. You know, if he wasn't, it was maybe Erik Karlsson. And I'm not sure who
else. Wasn't Carey Price, Brian, a couple years ago on the top 50 list? Didn't he clock in at like 2 or 3 or something? He was high 1 year.
Yeah, won the Hart.
Probably after maybe that Hart Trophy season. He was maybe not 2 or 3, but he was high for a goalie.
But he'd have to. If somebody wins the Hart, you would think they would have to at least be in the conversation of top 5 players in the league, unless it's like Theodore, which was an absolute joke anyways, and don't get me going on that.
Right, and that was a complete one-off.
I'm sorry. I know we're in the world now where everyone's got different opinions, and don't offend anybody, but there's some donkey voters out there that don't deserve to vote in these awards. It's ridiculous.
All their
votes are revealed. It's like some people are just, they're going outside the box just to, like, wasn't there somebody that didn't even have Nathan McKinnon on there? Like, come on.
Yeah,
just,
there was. There was somebody, I'm just reading, but there was somebody who didn't have Nathan McKinnon on their ballot.
Like, in the top 10?
Top 5.
Top 5, no Nathan McKinnon. Sorry, you lose your vote.
Listen, everyone's allowed their opinion. That's why there's 170 guys. But you're right. Like I thought Jason Gregor had a great tweet. You know, everything's debatable. I think you can have a spirited conversation with your opinion. But, you know, some people, they're making about them instead of – and listen, if they want to respect the process, go ahead. But, you know, to me I thought Gregor had a fantastic tweet.
Well,
saying,
I have
you know,
no problem with anybody putting time in, effort in, coming up with whoever they come up with, and then coming out and saying, this is why, and I'm telling you, I put the work in. I don't have nearly as big of an issue with that as I do with just pure laziness.
You're right.
That is much worse, and that has happened historically in votes, you know, with every league where you see it. It's like that person was not even paying attention, or they spent 2 minutes on it, and they forgot someone – that should have blatantly been on there. You know, if
right.
if you keep someone off and then you come with the heat and you say, this is why, okay, I can respect that. I may not agree with it.
Yeah, go ahead.
And if it's McKinnon or whatever, I'm definitely not going to. I don't care what your logic is, but you're entitled to that logic, and good for you for presenting it. I don't have a problem with that at
right.
all. I got an issue with, oh, I forgot, you know, or, no, I
yeah.
just, you know, I thought this guy had a great year. I saw him a lot. It's like, okay, you saw him a lot. What the hell does that mean?
That's the problem
that's
I
worse.
Have, guys.
That's
way the problem.
Worse.
That's the problem I have is a lot of the guys or the people, sorry, not guys, a lot of the people that are involved in this scenario are super fans of a certain team.
You
so,
see it in the voting. It's
you'll
just
see
like
it in the voting.
I thought the voting for some of the major awards were pretty simple. And then you'll see somebody out of left field and you go to the left and find out where they work, the same city as the guy that's on the list.
That's
it's
that's
just so predictable
yeah.
and it's a donkey list and they shouldn't be voting.
Well,
sorry.
Every market has it. Like I thought I saw in the top 10, because I believe there's 10, like they unveil everyone that gets votes.
Correct.
For the heart, right? And I guess it goes
yeah.
beyond that. You're right. You can fill out 1 through 5, but then as a result, there's going to be 14, 15, 20 different players that might get a vote.
Right.
And I thought I saw that 3 different Vancouver Canucks somehow got votes. And I'm like, that seems highly suspicious. Like, really? You know, Markstrom, TJ Miller, and Pettersson?
Like, Hayes, if you worked in New York.
Really?
And as good a year as Panarin had, and you worked in New York, would you still have him above Draisaitl and McKinnon?
I might.
Though.
I mean,
it's
Panarin
debatable.
Had a spectacular
yeah,
year. He had an unbelievable year.
But would you have him ahead of the other two guys?
I can't say that I necessarily would, but I understand why you'd say Panarin was the man there because he had way less talent around him. You know, he dragged that team into the playoffs for the first time in a long time, and he was unbelievable. Like I could make that argument if I'm
yeah.
In
maybe
York,
he's not the best example. I just
yeah,
thought
yeah,
I went through
example.
Some of the names and stuff, and I thought there was some donkey votes.
Well, you're right. Oh, I think that type of stuff is debatable. But my problem would be is if you just left the player off, like that's what happened. I don't want to go back, but like there were people in Montreal that left Ginla off the vote for Theodore, which I thought was absolutely
yeah.
asinine.
Well, that's
like
clearly,
that's idiocy.
Well, that
that's
was like, that was for a purpose. That was to,
right.
to because they knew it was a 2-man race and they took one guy
right.
out.
But that's the point. Like I think you can debate Panarin, McKinnon, you know, all of those guys, but to leave them completely off, like that's not that's another level. Put it
yes.
down.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. How's it going out there, Ray?
Good. Nice day. We're getting pounded for the next week with rain. So last day of golf today, and just kind of sitting around now.
Oh, you slid in another 18. I thought yesterday was your final round.
Well, the day opened itself up for another round, so
oh.
I thought I'd
like
squeeze it in.
So. I like that mentality. That's definitely the way it should be played out. I don't disagree with that. So what do you make of the voting? And, you know, we do this every year with every league. Why did this guy get voted?
Right.
Why did that guy not get voted? But
I
you know,
find
in the
it
end,
painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is why. Like, who, like, everybody makes their votes, right? Outside of a few votes that are just, you look at and you go, what the hell? Like, Tristan Jarry got a fifth place vote. And you're like, well, how the hell did that even happen?
For what
right?
award?
So,
for the Vezina.
Well, it's a local scribe. That's what it is. It watched
right.
him every day, and that's it. But that's where I get into the little bit of there's some bias, obviously.
No, so this is my point, though. Outside of a vote like that, which is kind of goofy and it's an outlier, and that's the way it is. Why is everybody like so pissed at everyone else for their votes? Like it's just so I voted Panarin in front of McKinnon. In the MVP, behind Draisaitl. You might not agree or you'd agree or whatever, but that was my opinion based on what I saw. So, like, there are people that get so fired up and they just attack everyone else that is voting or somebody else that's voting, and I find it tiresome. I'm like, man, they're like, that guy should lose his vote or that woman should lose her vote because there's one vote you don't agree with. Like seriously, like it. I don't know.
Jockeying of positions, like that.
Right.
That you're 100% correct.
Yep.
Panarin versus McKinnon, but it's a different story if it's like, oh, I'm just not putting, you know, McDavid on because of this, and he's not in my. It's like, really, or you know, whoever, or Cale Makar. I didn't like his play in front of the net. So it's like, shut up, then. That's just ridiculous.
Right. So now you can imagine what my Twitter account looks like because I voted Makar in front of Hughes, and I live in Vancouver.
Right.
Yeah, I voted him too ahead of Hughes.
Man, it was close. They're both great players.
But I went back and forth on this vote in my head for 3 weeks. And it's like every time I'd be like, oh, I'm going to put Quinn first. Oh, I'm going to put Cale first. And then like, you get down to the end and you're like, I got to pick one of them. And so I decided the 11 less games, very similar points mattered. And I picked Makar. It doesn't mean I'm an idiot. That just means that I might be an idiot for something else. But that was just the way I viewed that vote.
Makar had the less games, Ray?
Yeah, I played
Makar
57.
Had 11 less than the games.
Okay.
And and so I'm like, I don't know, but if you told me you can't have Makar on your team, you get Hughes, I'll be fine. I'll be more than fine. But people can't see that, like, they become so emotionally attached that it becomes a real thing to them. And you're like, you know what, the votes are there. Outside of the outlier votes, they all seem to be in the ballpark. You might not agree with the orders or whatever, and then there's three or four that you go, I don't know how that happened. But that's probably going to happen any other way. Oh, the other thing, come up with a better way. How would you like the votes to be compiled? Nobody seems to have a better answer. They say, oh, the players should vote. They did. They voted for Dreisaitl too.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no perfect system.
I mean, no, and I like the transparency. I do you guys mind the transparency? Like, I think my votes are up there. Like, they're all out there.
I say go
for
it. Now.
It's great for content, too. I mean, in 2020, offer it up. Let people know where you're at, where you stand. I mean, ultimately, we're talking about hockey awards. It's not like it's really that big of a deal. And generally speaking, you know, the consensus ends up rising to the top. You know, it's not a shock that Dreisaitl won. That Makar won, that Hellebuck won, that Yossi won.
But I don't think it should be – I feel badly for guys that are just getting, like, just shredded. And their vote is not a hometown vote. They put somebody in a different order. And I'm like, well I don't get why that – like, why do they got to listen to that crap? They should probably turn off Twitter for a few days.
That's Twitter, exactly. Yeah. Believe me, it could be a lot worse than taking heat for an award vote.
And you're allowed to have differing opinions. Like, I have no problem with that. You can respect it. Like I said, I went on my little rant. I just thought, you know, there are certain instances we've seen where it's been out of, like, there's been ulterior motives. There's been out of spite. It's not been out of, like, hey, I'm doing my due diligence and I feel strongly about this. Great, you're allowed your opinion, and we all should respect that. Like, I have no problem with that. But then when you clearly leave somebody off a list that should be on there, like, common sense should prevail in this, and that's where I struggle with a little bit.
Yeah, laziness, sanctimony, you see that a lot and it's been historically with Cooperstown, guys don't get in because they're mean. You know, they're mean to the writers.
What about that, though, Brian? What about the... Oh, yeah, you don't deserve to be in on the first ballot because everybody has to wait. Yeah. You're a Hall of Famer, and you're so great, you should get voted in on
it's
the first
stupid.
Crack.
Yeah, it's just
like,
dumb.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It is. And that's history, and then these guys get connected to it. But Dreisaitl had a remarkable year, and Edmonton's lucky. I mean, they've got McDavid and Dreisaitl, and they're locked in for quite some time. And prior to you coming on, we were discussing, you know, whether or not the title for Dreisaitl as the undisputed number two, like, best player in the country right now of the seven Canadian teams can be challenged, because I think we'd all agree that McDavid is number one and will be for the foreseeable future. I think I'm guessing we'd all agree that Dreisaitl is number two right now based on recent history, but I think Hellebuck has to be in consideration. I think Matthews can get there. If Matthews rips home 60 and 100 points and completes his game, I mean, he's got to be in contention.
Sure.
I think Quinn Hughes, I think Elias Pettersson, you know, those are the guys for me. I don't think Tkachuk can get to that level. You know, he's I love him as a player, but I don't think he gets to that level of effectiveness. Scheifele, maybe. You know, maybe Scheifele has to be included. Where do you stand on that, Ray?
Yeah, I'm just going through the teams, and I can't really think of anyone else in that spot. They had a pretty cool poll question yesterday in Vancouver. They said, and it's to this topic. They said, what will be the next major award that any Canuck wins? And, you know, is it the Rookie of the Year? Well, that's probably the one that's most possible because you got a new guy coming all the time and maybe you get lucky and your guy wins. Is it the Norris? Is it the Hart? Or is it the Vezina? And I said, like, the Hart is an impossibility to win. Of course, somebody wins it every year. But we're talking about the very, very best of the players. And just think of all the great players you would never even consider for a Hart Trophy. And they're amazing players. And you're like, yeah, but they're not at that level. So you're right, there's a handful of them at most to be to be considered in this level. We're talking about the Canadian teams. And, you know, Scheifele's the only one in Winnipeg. You got the two in, to be at that level. You got the two in Edmonton. You know, it's early to say Pettersson or Hughes, but they would be the ones in Vancouver. There's nobody in Ottawa that stands out. It's Matthews. Maybe Marner, maybe. But that's, and I don't see anyone in Montreal at that level.
No.
Like, there's, like that level is such rarefied air.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Man.
You mentioned, like, Matthews. Like, Matthews has to get 100 points. Like, that's the thing. The most he's had in his career is, what, 80, I think? Like, if he gets...
Yeah, points per game. He was pushing towards 90 this year, I think, if they played a full year.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
I don't deny that.
That's 20 less than Dreisaitl.
Yeah, but like, what if he scores 65, though, Noodles?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, so if he has 65 and 95, then he didn't hit 100, but he's got 65. I mean...
Yeah, well, when's the last time somebody scored 65? Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, he's got to get 50 first, and he would have this year, obviously. He would have. But, like, 65 is a big number.
Okay, but he was on 60. Again, he was on pace for 58 or 59 this year. Like,
right.
I'm not here to be his big, you know, but
no, Matthews
that's just
should
a fact.
Be there.
I mean,
absolutely.
You can't dispute that if the guy is creeping up at 60 and, like, you don't think he can score 100 points? I don't know if he will or when he will, but I think he can score 100 points.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So if it all comes together and he has one of those years where he stays healthy and he pushes 55 or 60 and gets to 100, then I think it's a conversation with Dreisaitl.
Yes,
I don't know if it will be with McDavid. I don't think it will be. But with Dreisaitl, you might be able to have that discussion, right?
Absolutely.
And that's where they're chasing. You know, the two best guys in the country are on one team. Like, it's a good spot to be in if you're in Edmonton.
I don't know if you were on, Ray, when Brian brought up if Hellebuck wins another Vezina. Like, if he wins, if he wins another Vezina, that's two, and he's been a finalist for another. Like, he has to be considered
absolutely
one of the top players in the country.
Of course.
I liked his comments where he said he didn't say, oh, what a great honor and all this. Like, not, I mean, he did, but what I took out of it was that he said, I wanted to win this.
Like, yeah, I like
you know,
that
his
too.
Mindset of, like, I want to be the best goalie. And what's crazy about that, and remember the first game of the year, I think he gave up six or something in New York. And he came out after, and he said, oh, I think I played really good. I don't, you know, it was like the guy was like, are you serious? And his belief in himself is pretty strong. And then he puts together a year where he holds that team together while they're, you know, they lose all of their defensemen. He had an awesome year.
So we were throwing around, you know, different free agents, not named Pietrangelo, who we've discussed a lot, and we will a lot for the next 2 weeks. But there's a lot of big names out there. You know, they may not be at the top of their game anymore, but, you know, Hall is one of them clearly, Torrey Krug, Leonard, if he is actually going to be available, maybe he's already re-signed with Vegas, Markstrom, Holpe, Brody, Hamonic, Vatanen, you know, Simmons, Dadonov, Hoffman, Hugh Dobin. You know, if he wins a cup, I know he's 34 and a backup, but still – he could be there on October 9th. Like, those are good players. You know, those are guys where if you get them, you're like, we had a pretty good offseason. Like, this guy can help us in some fashion. It's going to be fascinating because we don't know who's allowed to spend money. Which owners told their GM, you can't spend money.
A lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. And
I think we'll find out pretty quick, won't we? Like, that first few hours, you know, where there's a lot of players that make sense to a certain team and – it's going to be quiet in some cities, and you're going to go, oh, like that. It's going to become apparent pretty quickly. Like, some teams you think are going to be in the hunt, and then maybe they're going to wait until that first wave goes through. And they're going to reevaluate and say, okay, what have we got? Because there are players there that, now, I know Mike Hoffman never checks too much, yeah, but man, can that guy score.
He can shoot the puck with the best of them, man.
Oh, man. Really, like, just think if you've got him in a place that, like, what if he was in Montreal? Like, I keep going back to Montreal because they got cap room and draft picks. They don't have to waste the draft picks on a trade because Hoffman's free. But they can bring in difference makers. Like, they've got a lot of pretty good players or good players. They need difference makers. Yeah. And somebody like that can be a difference maker. And there's one other level to this. I don't know if you guys have got into it, but we've kind of scratched around it, is the restricted free agents that are not going to get qualified.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a few of those that are going to spring loose, and they're mm-hmm. going to be way younger than the names you just brought up. And they're going to be, I think there'll be a half a dozen of them for sure that'll be really interesting.
Do you think Jimmy Benning would walk away from Stetcher? That's a close
maybe.
One, like,
a,
for me.
Yeah,
it's
he's
a close
at 2-1. He's at 2-1. That'll probably be dependent on what their idea is with Tanev.
Right.
And if whether they're going to take a big swing at one of the other defensemen.
He's taking big swings. Jimmy's looking at Stamkos, Subban.
Subban.
Oh, I forgot about that. Didn't he get fined for that or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for
Hayes heard him say it.
Yeah.
We were in Buffalo on, like, media row, and Hayes looks at me and he goes, are you listening to Jimmy Benning right now? He's saying he's going to be sniffing around on PK and Stamkos. And I didn't really register. But then it's like he can't. Then he's like, he can't
be.
Yeah, he clipped for both.
Yeah, because Stamkos had not hit free agency yet, so he was still technically property of Tampa. And Subban.
Oh, there is that, of course.
Yeah. And Subban was just a rumor. He had years left on his deal in Montreal. And he was on with Sakarison Price. And I saw Maddie. Matt's like waving me over. He's like, you got to hear this, man. I'm like, I know. I'm listening. I can't believe it. Like, Jimmy Benning's just
awesome.
We're going for this and that and trying to get Gretz out of retirement. We'll see if we can work that out. And like, okay, the wheels are in motion here.
The other name out here, too, along that is Virtanen.
Yeah.
And he had 18 goals this year. He's a tough guy to figure out, but he's got an arb case that would get him close to $3 million bucks. And if they qualify him, then, you know, they're locked into something. And they might just not have the money or the room to pay him $3 million.
Well, another guy I didn't mention in the list is Tyson Barry. You know, yeah. Barry's a free agent. And I glossed over him because I'm like, I know he's not coming back here. I don't think he is. But that is a case, whew, man, you got to be a little nervous negotiating with him because you know what he's capable of. Like, you know exactly what he can do, and he did it in Colorado. It was a disaster of a season here in Toronto. So it's like, what have you done for me lately? The last time I saw you, I didn't love what I saw, but he's still in his 20s. He can skate. He can man a power play. Like, he did that for the Leafs in the second half, and he did it very well in Colorado throughout his career. But I can't get a read on, you know, the marketplace, the price, the term. Is he going to go in the first hour, or is he going to have to sit around for a week or two?
How would anybody know, right? Like, this year, it's just, it's going to be really, of the things that will be really interesting will be how do those first few hours, how do they manage themselves? Like, you don't want to get caught paying a price that, as it turns out, you didn't need to pay.
Jake Gardner was an example last year. Everyone thought, I think Frank had him at second for D-man or second on the list total, and he ended up going a month and a half later at $4 million on a 4-year deal.
Yeah. And
what if you're sitting there though, and you're looking at, I don't know, Torrey Krug, and you're like, in a normal year, man, he's probably 5 times 7.
Yeah.
And even at his age, and you're like, oh, I don't, yeah, okay, I'm gonna pay it, and then it turns out you didn't need to.
Yeah, you'll never know that
enough,
though. Because
other
teams
are
going to say, oh, we would have never given him that. Well, he probably didn't have the chance.
It's good, but they'll be, there'll be a lot of nervous guys, I think, at the, you know, at the first few hours of that thing.
Yeah, well, for sure. Are you going to be here for that, or are you still? Like,
no, I'm not going to be there. I'll be, I don't know what. I was talking to the quiz master, and, you know, he's basically.
Oh, he called you? That's weird.
Yeah, shocker. he's basically saying, you know, maybe we could, you know, we could tie you up somehow, and you could stand there and give us a hit or two. I don't know. I don't know what he's planning. That'll be about the time I think I can do something anyway.
Yeah, well, see, that's where, I don't know if you heard about this, but we had
We got to fly.
No, let him hear.
Strutty on in the last hour, and he was taking runs at you, Ray. We didn't like it. We're
not on board.
Strutty was taking shots at you. We'll play the audio. We'll let you respond. We told them, you do that again, you're never allowed back on the show.
I bet you did.
Here's what Jason Strudwick said about an hour ago.
I see that Ray Ferraro's coming on after me, and I think we should all take a moment to recognize how gritty he is. He talks about it all the time. He's getting knee surgery next week, and it's amazing that he can do the show this week. Last week he was telling us how he's going to be, you know, out of commission for a long time. I'm like, are there no phones in the hospital? You know, can he not watch the game? And he's such a gritty guy. Like, what's his nickname? The gritty chicken, what is it, Parmesan or whatever? So when he comes on, let him know that I still think he's soft for not making his phones.
How do you respond to that? Getting called out in Edmonton.
He followed it up with his grandma was running 3 days after surgery.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I don't think, I'm assuming Strutty doesn't know that it's a complete knee replacement. That's number one. Number two is if he should be in the bed next to me doing something about that salad hit.
Yes, he should.
Salad replacement.
Yeah.
Oh, and that would be, I think his salad replacement would be more in-depth surgery than my knee replacement.
Yeah. Well, that is
Look
deeper.
At that thing. He's got the double flip around the backside there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till I get on with him. This is going to not go well.
Yeah. Full cranium replacement. That's what he needs.
That's how it started. We just walked him. We just said, how you doing, Strutty? And boom. He's like, well, I'm seeing Ray. I'm like, okay, you guys got to figure that out. I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
You know what I really appreciate was listening to him talk there and hearing how many times you guys were butting in to stand up for me. That was really great.
Mullen just cut it short. I said, stop that. I said, don't you dare. That's our buddy Ray. And we won't have it on this show.
That'll take me in. That'll take me through the tough times. I'll really build off of that.
You should, buddy. That's a pep talk. Well, we're thinking about you. I didn't realize it was a full knee replacement, but that's a different level for sure.
Yeah, it's a bad hinge. The hinge is a little creaky. So, as Darren Pang told me, he says, just make sure they measure your legs. You wouldn't want them to put a 6'1" knee in your side. I'm like, thanks, Panger.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is good advice. Well, good luck with it, buddy. Keep us posted on everything, and we'll do this again, I don't know, in a couple of weeks,
2 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. We'll be
okay.
back.
All right, buddy. We'll do it then.
Be well, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's Maple Toyota's birthday, and they're giving you the gifts this month. Buy any new vehicle and receive a free gift. Red Tag savings continue with rates from 0%. I think that went pretty well. Ray was very jovial about that.
He was way better than I thought. I was like, because, you know, there's some people you just don't talk the same. I'm just like, I don't want to do this. I want no part of it.
Well,
and
it's
you
not
handled
like
it
we
well.
Were.
No,
it's not
I
like
know.
We but, were taking runs
Ray,
at
Ray
him.
I guess Ray's
Ray
just
will.
Sometimes in a mood where he could have easily said, "The hell with that guy," and hung up the phone. That could have happened. Do you not agree? Like, he could have said, "The hell with Strutty, goodbye."
Right. Well, I think we selectively placed that, you know, perfectly.
It was perfect. Yeah, it was perfectly placed.
Well done, Mullen, Grappler, everyone involved. Al's brother Kirk for the Jays tonight. That's his new handle. Al's brother Kirk went 4-for-4 last night and hit a bomb opposite field.
It would make my life if he walked up to bat with a turtleneck on in the first inning. Like not like a fluffy one like Al's brother's.
Yeah. And his walk-up song has to be "You Can Call Me Al."
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Like if that's his walk-up song with a turtleneck.
And just mashes 1 yard out on I-90.
Yep. Love it. Love Alejandro Kirk, Al's brother's Kirk. So we'll catch up with Scotty Mitchell in about an hour on the Jays tonight. Gerrit Cole up against Tanner Roark. We've seen this movie before. It didn't go well a week ago. But, listen, the Jays redeemed themselves last night. You know, let's be honest. None of us were overly confident. They went Lloyd Christmas, and credit to them. So we'll catch up with Scotty. Bobby Marks just after 5 o'clock. Bunch of fines in the NFL for non-mask-wearing coaches. And two more were added to the list. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so we're already through 2 weeks in the NFL. And time flies, man. And week three is likely going to have the most anticipated game of the season. Maybe outside of Bucs Saints week one. You know, Tom Brady's debut.
Coming over for it.
You want to come over Monday night?
Yes, Kansas City, Baltimore.
Kansas City, Baltimore. Make the trek. We'll do the basement. Let's watch the game.
If it's an 8 o'clock start, I'll do it. But
yeah, it is. It'll be, I don't know, 8:15, 8:25 kickoff.
Fire up the big screen for that one because that is going to – I'm going to have to pick that game. I don't know what the spread's going to be, but that is a doozy.
That'll be a tough game. It'll be close to a pick 'em. I think it's in Baltimore. If it is, I think the Ravens will be favored, and I think they should be. But, you know, because Kansas City hasn't looked great. They're 2-0, but they survived this past weekend. They did not dismantle the Chargers at all. They survived. Yeah. They almost got lucky.
They're good enough to get through, don't you think? Like, they've got the talent.
Oh, of course. Kansas City's going to be fine. I mean, they're going to rev the engines up as the season goes on. It is at Baltimore. So I think the Ravens will be favored. I think it'll be – probably the spread's probably out right now. I think 2.5, maybe 3, favorite at home. Although home field advantage doesn't really exist anymore. Every game's basically a neutral site. But Baltimore has been dominant through 2 weeks, like dominant. And I think probably deserved to be the favorite in that game. But it'll be awesome. And Adam Schefter from ESPN was reporting last night that three coaches were fined $100,000. For not wearing their masks in week two. And you can add Sean Payton and John Gruden because every time they were on TV, they weren't wearing a mask. Like, I didn't see Gruden. He put his mask on late, almost as if he knew, finally, like, the cameras have got you. Goodell's going to find you here. But all night, I never saw him with his mask on.
I don't know why they even try to fiddle around with the mask. Why don't they just do, like, the kind of the scarf type thing like the ball players have where you can just pull it up and like the tinkering with the mask the whole game, it doesn't seem reasonable with the amount of talking and I don't know.
Well, they should make it mandatory that every coach wears what Andy Reid is wearing. Like it just that should be
that's one way around
the uniform. That's the uniform for the coach.
Are the players that are like if the offense is on, like in this what's the difference? The players are there with their helmets off, they don't have masks on. Is the whole support staff, are they all wearing masks?
Yes. Everyone else except for the players are supposed to be wearing masks.
Well, what the hell's the difference if the coach doesn't have one on? I know they're trying probably to send a message, but if the players are all standing there with no mask on, what would the difference be if the coach doesn't?
I would assume it is
protocol.
Clearly it's protocol, but I would guess maybe the Players Association said, like, if we're doing this, everyone else on the sideline has to wear a mask, you know, coaches included. So the NFL's like, fine. I think some of it is optics. You know, the players have to be on the field. Everyone else, you don't really have to be there. I mean, you do, but you can wear a mask and still do your job. You know, the players can't. The players aren't going to be running at high speed wearing masks. It's not going to happen. It's not doable. But a coach can sit there with a mask on. So it's about taking every possible precaution. What's interesting about Gruden and Payton is they have both had COVID-19. So I kind of feel like the two of them almost are like, we've had it. We got the antibodies, whatever. Like $100,000 is going to get their attention. That's a lot of money. You know,
well,
that
is
not. Does
the team pay that or are they coming out of their pocket?
I would assume they're paying it because I think the team got fined $250,000 on top of that. So
they're not flipping the bill then. They're not going to say, hey, don't worry about it.
Doesn't Gruden make $10
million? Yeah, and Payton would be close.
So, I mean, yeah, $100,000 is
still a lot of money.
Chunk of change, but when you make 10 sheets.
Right, but you don't want to be, you know.
Well, it gets your attention.
$1.7 million over the course of the year. You're not doing that. Like, throw the mask on.
Oh, no. He's wearing a mask. Like, $100,000 gets your attention to the point where you're wearing a mask every time. You know, you're on the field or camera can get a hold of you for sure. But I know people were making fun of it, but Andy Reid's setup looks aesthetically, like it looks like it's comfortable for him.
Absolutely. It's just, there's no breathing issues. There's no adjustments. You have it on, and you're just you go through the whole game. You don't even think about it. And outside of the fog being a clear issue for Andy Reid, outside of that, I would think by the second or third drive of the game, you don't even recognize that you have it on. You know, you wouldn't even pay attention. You're just seeing right through it. It's like wearing a mask when you're playing hockey or anything else.
I don't know. Did you guys ever wear, what was it called, the iTech, like the face shield?
Yeah.
Did you ever wear that?
As a kid, not as you grew up. I didn't.
No. But, what did you wear? Do you wear
cage? Yeah, everyone had those iTech things, yeah. But when I played junior, the half visor, I got once a week a 10-minute penalty because you got a 10-minute penalty if it wasn't fully down.
It was Komarov, yeah.
Yeah, I had it Komarov style. I got a 10-minute penalty once a weekend. That's when I went to the Nash and I said no visor.
I'm old enough that there was a guy I played against who had a cage just cut off, like a half a cage.
Savage.
He was one of the meanest, like scariest men. Like, and he just would like skate around staring at people. He had a half a cage, and it was like I think he just took it out to his garage and cut a cage in half.
Tell me there were jagged edges.
I think there was like edges.
Killer Kaminsky's helmet.
Yeah, it was something like that. I think he played for Prince Albert. Like it was, you know, the guy was just out there. They gave him a jersey, and he had a half a cage on. That was it. Like that's scary going into buildings like that where you have no idea what was that guy was capable of.
Right.
And you got to play three.
Yeah,
or four.
Yeah, well,
times
I had an idea just by looking at him. You're like, I think I know what this guy's character is all about, but. It's I guess the storyline for the year. It has no effect on the game, but coaches having to wear masks, and it does make you wonder why the exception wasn't made for them. You know, like, you know, head coaches are constantly talking with the offensive and defensive coordinator, you know, special team coaches. They're constantly on the headset. You know, could you make the exception that the head coach is allowed to not wear one or should strongly be advised to wear one, but if he doesn't, it's okay? I think that's a reasonable case to be made, but I guess the NFL's looking at it as a slippery slope. You know, we let that slide, then what else do we let slide? And you know, it's some of it, a lot of it is about safety, but I'm sure a lot of it also is about optics. You know, like, we're out here playing and we're flying all over the country and throwing a mask, we're on live TV, there's millions of people watching.
I think
Gruden and Peyton didn't even attempt to do it last night. You knew they were getting fined just watching the game.
I think that's what it was, Brian, is the optics of it. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't these teams being tested extensively?
Yeah, daily, as far as I know. The players, anyway. I don't know about the coaches.
Well,
but
I would think that everyone around the team would be tested. Because even if they're containing their own little bubble or their own, you know, group, everyone that goes into it would be tested. So I would think that, you know, they've got multiple, not just one test, multiple tests on these guys. Like, to me, I think the coach should be exempt, but it's more of an aesthetic thing. Like, hey, you know, we're trying to sell that masks should be on everyone. Because baseball is the same way. I see the manager go out, they're arguing with the umpire, they pull their mask down to argue with them and then put it back because it's, you know, they're...
Girardi did it yesterday.
Last night, Girardi was like,
be better. This is a big game for us. And then he slapped his mask back on his face. It was just goofy.
but that's the other example of it. You're right. I mean, in baseball, the players don't have to, but the manager, the coaches, the staff, they all have to, the umpires. You know, the only ones where it's exempt is in the bubbles. You know, hockey and basketball, they're not doing it. Now, some coaches have decided to do it with basketball. I have not seen a coach in the NHL, assistant or otherwise, wear a mask. I mean, maybe I missed it, but I haven't seen anybody.
No, I don't think so. No. But those guys, you saw the testing protocol. Like, the NHL's almost had 40,000 tests in those bubbles. Like, that's insane. I mean, it's an insane amount, but that's how strict they've
been. Yeah, you have to do it. You have to do it. I wonder how that works next year, right? Like, Adam Silver was interviewed last night, I think, by Bob Costas, and he floated out, you know, be prepared for basketball into 2021. It's not likely going to happen at Christmas or in December, and maybe even later, maybe even in late January or into February. And the hope is and the plan is, you know, to have fans in the stands, you know, like
and
even today.
82 games.
82 games flying around the country, no more bubbles. Like, you did your bubble, that's not happening again.
Never, right. Never.
It's not going to happen again for the NHL, for the NBA, for anyone. Maybe you can do it in the playoffs. Like, maybe, although by that point, I mean, what is the point? I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
And what happens if there's a flare-up? Well, there's already a flare-up happening. They didn't allow baseball players to come into Toronto to play the Blue Jays. What happens with the Raptors?
That is legitimate. And what about the hockey teams? I mean, you got the Raptors and seven hockey teams who are going to be asking Trudeau and company, can we do this?
And the Feds said no to baseball. What are they going to do? Say, oh, we like hockey and basketball, so guys go ahead and come on in here? I don't think so.
Did you guys get a chance to watch Gary's press conference the other day? Like I thought for the most part, he's always a calculated guy, but you know, it seemed to me, and he was like, I'm just spitballing. I don't think he spitballs
no,
anything.
Never.
You know, so he's like, I would think the league's going to start with no fans and then social distance fans and build that up. Like, to me, they're talking about, and he didn't rule out a Canadian division, which I actually thought was really cool. Like,
yeah,
I don't
but
know
what are you going to do? Like, play the same seven teams for 80 games?
No. I think what you do, if you believe that there's stages of this, you get them playing each other for that first stage, the first 15 games. Like, that's a month. You're buying yourself a month there, right? If you're, you know, if you believe that you're going to start. I still believe they're starting in January.
Right, like, I agree with you. I think you can get 2 months out of that.
Like, yeah,
I
guess so what you're saying, Jamie, how fair would that be to two awesome powerhouses that have to battle it out? Let's say it's Dallas and Vegas, or Vegas and, you know, teams in close proximity in the States, and then you get to some team in Canada. The Toronto just gets to go to Ottawa and dummy them every night. Like, yeah. How would that make sense standing-wise?
I think they only play each other a couple times, and that's what happens during the season. You're just lumping it all together, you know, for the most part. Like, if you're talking seven teams, so you're playing six other teams and you play them three times, that's 18 games right there. There's a month and a half you know, like that. That's what I think they're talking about.
Oh, okay, I understand. You're getting your games against the Canadian teams out of the way.
Out of the way early on.
And you're going to play them maybe more than twice, right? Like,
correct,
maybe it's three or four times.
Right.
Which, like,
right.
Who would complain about that? I wouldn't. You're telling me I get to see McDavid play the Leafs four times in a month and a half? Thank you. Like, where do I sign up? Vancouver, I get to see Quinn Hughes play? You know, like, that would be outstanding. I think the pushback on that might be from the Canadian teams and the network saying, you know, I don't really know if I want to waste all my games without fans with these games. You know, like, if you're Western Canadian teams, you want the Leafs in town when the Leaf fans can buy tickets for more than market value and fill up your building. You know, do you want to waste your one or two Leaf games with no one in the building? Now, that might just have to be the case because we're living in a COVID era and COVID makes the rules.
Right.
So you got to deal with it. But I could see some pushback a little bit, or at least that gets brought to the attention. Like, can we save one game with them? You know, McDavid rolling through Toronto for the end of the year when we could pack the building. The Leafs rolling through Western Canada. That's a huge moneymaker for those towns.
You're right.
And the Habs.
I don't disagree with that, but I also think if they're trying to squeeze 82 and they want to play 82 games, you might just be a victim to the schedule.
Yep.
You know, might just say, hey, we're doing it with no fans, with a Canadian division, and, you know, in America, East and West. They stay in, you know, New York teams and Carolina, they all play
each
other.
Yeah, you can regionalize it all, and you could figure that out. Bobby Marks from ESPN on Game 3 tonight of the Western Final in the NBA. We'll get to that in about 15. And Scotty Mitchell on Jays Yankees tonight down in Buffalo. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so a bit of an up-and-down week, so to speak, for the Canadian tennis scene, because Denis Shapovalov is into the top 10 rankings, only the second Canadian to ever do that behind Milos Raonic. So Shapo's moving up. Yeah, he's moving up, and he's making noise, and he will be at the French Open. But Bianca Andreescu will not. She is shutting herself down for the remainder of the 2020 season. She will not be in France. She will not be at the French Open. And that means we're going, you know, upwards of, what, 17, 18 months in between appearances for her? She won the U.S. Open. We never saw her again. And we're not going to see her again this year. Really tough.
I mean, I don't know in tennis terms if that would hamper her development, because I think she's, you know, she won at 19, correct? So she's still growing as a player. And
you're just getting concerned about the injuries, though. They keep piling up at such a young age.
Right.
Like, you know, there's been a lot, hasn't there, in the last 18 months?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
and listen,
a lot.
COVID's thrown a lot of people off, but this isn't COVID-related. This is just simply her body's broken down on her. And she had injury problems before she won the slam. You know, like, since she got on the scene, she's kind of been hit or miss with injuries and some concerns about that. And it's just, it's disappointing because she hit the scene the way that she did, winning at Indian Wells, winning here in Toronto, winning the U.S. Open. And then immediately she's just a massive superstar that you can't get enough of. And you're just dying to watch her play. And then injuries just completely wipe her off the schedule and, quite frankly, off the sports map. You know, when she returns, there will be buzz, but it will be nowhere near what it would have been if she just jumped back on the train, you know. Well, and
people start forgetting that she was the champ, like the U.S. Open champ. It's just I don't know, maybe we get the voice of TSN tennis, Mark Rowe, on tomorrow.
Maybe
or
we will.
Mark Masters.
Or Masters, because Jeannie Bouchard's playing at the French Open, and that is Masters' connection. Mark Masters and Jeannie, that is his wheelhouse. So I don't think Mark Rowe can touch that kind of connection. But we'll see. Maybe
all right. If you want to do Masters, we'll do it.
Okay. We'll get back into the football game last night. Drew Brees, where is he at? Are we getting concerned? Should you be concerned down in New Orleans? Jays, Yankees tonight. And game three of the Western Final in the NBA playoffs. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.